You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This Father's Day, celebrate the one who's always been your rock. With a gift of comfort from Minky Couture. Whether he's relaxing after a long day, watching the game, or sneaking in that well-earned nap, nothing says thank you like the luxury of a Minky blanket. Soft, stylish, strong, just like Dad. Visit MinkyCouture.com or stop by a store near you and give Dad the comfort he truly deserves. Minky Couture, because even heroes need to rest.
This is a Hat Trick
Podcast.
Oh, lovely.
Do you remember your sex education? Was it helpful to you? Was it filled with scientific information rather than real, practical advice? I'm Diggory Waite, and this is The Real Sex Education. In this podcast, I'll be interrogating sexual myths, posing sex questions to special guests, and opening up our mailbox to answer your relationship conundrums. In order to do this, though, I need an expert. A sexpert, if you will. But the only sex and relationship therapist I know is my mum. Hello, Mum.
Hello, Diggs.
Hello, and welcome back to The Real Sex Education After School. I'm Diggory Waite, and I'm joined, as ever, by accredited sex and relationship therapist, Kate Campbell. Hello, Mum.
Hello, Diggs.
Yes, we're back again for another episode of The Real Sex Education After School. This is the show where you can send in your questions to us, to our accredited sex and relationship therapist, Kate Campbell. How are you? Are you excited?
I'm excited.
More questions for you.
Well, I'm baffled because I don't know what they're going to be.
Yeah, you never know.
So
you never
the excitement
know.
Of finding out.
Exactly.
The discovery.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you know what? I'm gonna make you wait just a little bit longer because I want to get your thoughts on this. A friend of mine, this...
Asking for a friend. Yeah.
Well, I have to. This is me living my Otis era. I've got friends who... But this wasn't necessarily a question. They just told me a story. They went out to a club in South London, if anyone's interested. I could tell you the name.
Ballum?
DM me. You're actually close-ish. Are you close with that? Yeah, kind of close.
Fulham. Clapton. Stockwell.
Ah, bingo. That's fun, actually. People can try and work out what club it is from there. That was good. Well done. I really thought that was going to be a boring game and you wouldn't get it. And I'd be like, okay, we really need to get this faster. But you did a good job. Anyway, right. She went out. She got with this guy. She said he was absolutely stunning. Like 10 out of 10. Big rugby boy. Like really amazing. They went back to her house.
Mm-hmm.
He asked to film her. And was like really after filming her. And said, don't worry. We'll do it on your phone. And then he was filming it on her phone and stuff. And then kept being like, look at the camera. Then they went to like, you know, go into the shower or whatever. And he kept being like, can I shave you? I want to shave you. Because if I shave you, then I'll go down you if you let me shave you. And she was like, no, I'm sort of fine as I am. And he was like, yeah, but I really want to do that. And then she was like, no, it's fine. And then when they were still having sex in the toilet, or the bathroom, he kept sort of like, she could tell that whilst they were like kissing and stuff, his eyes were open. He was sort of looking at the mirror the whole time, like watching them kiss each other or maybe just watching himself. And then he said that, he had to go and like see a mate at 5:30 in the morning. So he had to leave then. I just wanted to get your thoughts on that because it sounds like a crazy evening, but is that someone who's in touch with what they like sexually and communicates that well?
I don't know. I mean, this is the problem, isn't it? When you're hooking up with somebody, you don't know what they're going to want, really.
No.
And I guess a lot of people might be asking questions about how soon they should mention their interests.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'd probably say first time's a bit soon.
This is the thing, and it's an interesting debate. For a one-night stand, yeah, are you allowed to pull those things out straight away? I guess in some ways, like, the way I've told the story might not be quite right. It sounds like she said no to a lot of these things. Mm. Like, he put it on the table, she said no, didn't force her to do any of them. No. You know, so it's a fine situation. But that's the thing with one-night stands. It's like the kind of the beauty of at least for straight couples, the sexual script is sort of like, you know, 2 minutes of missionary in bed, you know, that's great. We're all on board with that. And then,
well, that's if you are, but then not everybody is. I mean, some people are hoping that this is going to be a relationship. And when somebody's wanting to shower you and shave you and things like that, maybe you're thinking, no, this is not a relationship. In fact, I've got the ick. And now I've got to do 2 minutes of missionary because I don't know how to say no.
Yeah.
Which is not okay, by the way.
Which is not okay. Mm. But it sounds like the good thing is, genuinely, I truly believe she was good at saying no and said it nicely, and this guy wasn't, like, pushing it too hard. I mean, the phone thing was a bit weird. And now she was like, I've got this video on my phone that's 4 minutes long and I'm too scared to look at. which is, yeah, I don't know. Anyway, I just thought I'd get your thoughts on that.
So long as he didn't send it to himself, which he could have done.
I don't think so. But maybe this is, you know, maybe this is an issue that we were talking about a few weeks back on the whole sexting thing.
Personally, I'd be wary anyway of that. You know me, don't you? I'm always wary of that sort of oddness.
Be very careful where you tread oddness.
There's nothing wrong with liking shaving people or anything like that. But on a first date, I mean, that might be the way they felt. They might not. They might say, I'm really, really honoured that you are sharing your special interests with me. But if you haven't discussed them in advance, or if that is not the context for your meeting up, then what, you know, really bring your bloody razors with you, did you? And
and your 60 millimeter camera, you know.
Well, I've got to tell you, I did hear the other day, this wasn't from a client, so don't worry, but I did hear the other day somebody told me about somebody that was into shoes and brought a buffer.
What's a buffer?
A buffer to shine your shoes to the date.
Wow. Okay.
So this is similar, isn't it? This person brought a buffer to shine the shoes so that this person could wear these shoes and then, you know, parade around in them, and they would be really, really shiny because that was part of the attraction.
Blimey, there's a lot to unpack there, but I was good to get your, I sort of think that's the sort of thing you need to build up for, or speak about beforehand. You can't just spring that on someone.
Oh yeah, definitely. And I don't see any reason why, if you're having a date and you're having a nice drink together and you're having a chat, you don't have a proper talk about where you think the relationship's going to go. You know, if you don't want anything serious, if you do, if your special interest is feet or socks or shaving or whatever.
But that's the problem, I suppose. And someone said to me once, they were like, I've never spoken with someone about sex before having sex with them at least once, and then we'll talk about it afterwards. And that's why I almost think that, like, okay, ideally you would speak about sex before you have it with someone. That's the ideal world, and that's great. But as it's not the case with most people, you sort of think that the first sexual encounter should be kind of as standard as possible.
Yeah, if you haven't spoken about it, that's what I'm saying. You shouldn't spring anything on anybody.
Exactly.
Because actually, once you're in the middle of it and you start talking about what you want to do, you make it more difficult for them to say no.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, she did really well.
She did really well.
Say no. She said no.
Yeah, well. Let's hope she did. I think she did. I'm sure she did. Mm. But yeah, so well done to you. Well done to you.
Yeah, very well done. Because it's not easy. Not easy at all.
It certainly isn't. Exactly. Mm. Okay, so this first question is from our anonymous Google form. So you can send in a question there if you'd like by following the link in the bio of this episode. Also in the bio of our social media channels. We're at the RSC Pod. It'll ask you for an email, but we won't see it. It's just so you could submit the question. I think it's Google won it or something. So don't worry about that. Anyway, here we go. Mm. Hi, guys. Absolutely love the podcast. I've just to remind everyone, I would have deleted that usually, but I was saying I always read them verbatim now. So just so we're aware. Hi, guys. Absolutely love the podcast. I've been dating my boyfriend for 5 years now, and for the past 2 years, we've been long distance while I'm at university. However, whenever we meet up and have oral sex, I have to image me having sex with other girls to reach my orgasm while he is performing oral sex on me. Is this a bad thing? Should I admit this to my boyfriend?
Well, you know what I think about admitting your fantasies to other people.
Yes, but remind people that haven't heard the episode that we talked about that on.
Well, the many episodes. I would always advise against it, because when you say it out loud, it ruins it for you.
Mm.
Quite often. I mean, some people find it really hot to share those things. Maybe you could, if you want to use the theme of having sex with girls and talk about it in general, that's fun. But I wouldn't share your special fantasy, because sharing it sometimes ruins it. Once the other person gets hold of it, they change it.
Yeah.
But lots and lots of people, particularly when they feel a bit self-conscious, which sometimes people do with oral sex, they feel better and more able to relax and get into it if they imagine themselves being someone else, or they get into a fantasy which takes them away, completely away from the situation they're in. So completely away is not with a man, with women, and the sexual act that they're doing actually facilitates that. So that's nicely away from the partner, which means you can enjoy it. Open your eyes. There's your partner. We're all loved up. That was great.
Yeah, exactly. So what you're saying is sort of there's nothing wrong with this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have to agree. So yeah, but I mean, at the same time, is it okay to fantasize about other people whilst you're in a relationship?
Well,
and whilst someone's going down on you, you're fantasizing that someone else is going down.
Yeah, because sometimes that's the only way people, when somebody's really important to you, as we're always saying, then pleasing that person is what you're wanting to do, and it feels really important. But sometimes it's impossible to please them, either by doing whatever they like, because you're worried you're not doing it properly, or by responding to them in the, you know, so that they'll be pleased that they've pleased you, if you see what I mean. That's known as response pressure. And lots of people have that, particularly with that particular sexual act, because they feel, oh, you know, I'm taking too long, you know, his jaw will start to ache, and or how good, you know. So what I would advise, and what lots of people would advise, is to fantasize and to get yourself right out of it, so that you're not thinking about your partner, even though you know bloody well it's your partner. You can have your nice little fantasy, you open your eyes, there's your partner, we're all good, and that's fine. You haven't done anything wrong, you've just had a thought in your head, or series of mind-blowing thoughts.
Yeah, exactly. And so she, again, I apologize. I think there will be people at home who have questions like this. Isn't she just gay?
What? What utter nonsense. No.
Yeah.
I mean, she might be. She might be gay or bisexual, and good for her. But that's not necessarily the case. It's about being turned on by watching, in this case, isn't it? Or by pretending to be part of. That's a fantasy. That's not something that you actually want to happen. It's something that you're experimenting with in your head. And why not? And women are much more likely to be aroused by watching women having sex with women, men having sex with men, if they're straight, because they just identify with the pleasure that people are having, not with the act.
So, well, I think this always reminds me, people must be sick of me talking about this on the podcast, but one of the main things that I always think about and remember is how many, I think, isn't it the top category that straight women watch is lesbian porn?
Oh, I'm not sure, but I wouldn't be at all surprised.
No, maybe I've extrapolated too much there, but I just know so many of people, I know them personally, who identify as straight women, and there is one common denominator, and they're like, yeah, I watch loads of lesbian porn. So that's another thing where it's like you say, it's like a fantasy, it's an eroticism. I will once again direct people back to that amazing episode we did with Dr. Joe Court, who talks about, you know, what you find erotic and what you find romantic. So you might be romantically straight, but erotically you might like same sex relationships or same sex sex, that sort of stuff. But I just thought it was good to get that out, because some people would just be like, well, this is an open shot case, she's clearly gay. And
well, it clearly isn't. True. And it's really fascinating that if you're fantasizing, it's trying out something different, which is, because it's different, it's liable to be more erotic, more arousing, because it's unusual and it's not something that you would actually do. But toying with the idea is the fun bit, and it's safe, and it's completely safe.
Yeah, because it's your fantasy and no one else is going to get involved, which is the final question. So she said, you know, she was basically like, is this bad? Should I tell my boyfriend? We've said, don't tell your boyfriend. It's not bad. It's normal. And don't tell your boyfriend necessarily.
Not because there's anything to be ashamed of, but no. Because you don't want to spoil the fantasy by telling him and having, yeah. You know, once you've said it out loud, let's face it, most people's fantasies are so silly. And once you say them out loud or somebody else critiques them or wants to enact them, then, you know, it's ruined.
It's not your fantasy anymore. It's your reality and they don't look at all the same. Mm. And sometimes they're not as fun. Mm. Yeah. Okay, Brill. So, yes, you're not bad. You're fine. Keep at it. This next question is from our Instagram DMs, which you can slide into by following us on the RSE pod. And we're at the same username on X and TikTok. Okay, here we go. Hello, I have an unusual topic to talk about that I was wondering if you were going to cover on the podcast. It's called Widow's Fire. I have experienced this after my wife died at a young age. I didn't know it had a name at the time, but I felt an intense yearning for physical intimacy. There is a guilt and shame that comes with grief, but I know what's in my heart. I had a fling with someone, but I wasn't ready for another relationship. I even met with a sex worker and ended up feeling like the worst kind of selfish and toxic man. I have tried to meet someone else, but mainly it's due to loneliness. I have no real desire for it. Maybe if the right person came along. In the meantime, I satisfy any serial urges by myself. I feel it's perfectly natural and healthy to do so, but I often feel the shame society puts on this. It would be great to hear your thoughts on this. Love the podcast.
Oh, that's so sweet and sad, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And I think, obviously, the sadness comes from you losing your wife, which is obviously so sad. And I think also the sadness is about this shame that you feel from society. Like you said, you know that these urges are natural and healthy, but you feel like you can't do it because of what other people will think. But I think it's natural and normal, and I think you should pursue these things, and hopefully the more you do, the more you'll come to terms with it and feel better about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's sometimes it's just people wanting to be held. It isn't even necessarily sex. They just want to be in somebody's arms, which is so sweet and so understandable. I mean, there is that really strong longing. If you've had a sexual relationship with someone and they're suddenly taken away from you, why wouldn't you long to be held again? I mean, it's a big part of your life, which is probably enormously regulating, and suddenly it's gone. Why wouldn't you long for it? Totally understandable.
Yeah.
And nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And that intimacy with someone. I mean, it kind of reminds me of when, you know, people break up and then one of the partners like gets on the apps and stuff straight away and everyone's like, oh, look at them, like whatever. But I sometimes think, you know, when you're out of the relationship, you can sort of do whatever you want. And as long as you're not hurting anyone and the reasons are the right ones, then it's kind of fine.
This is a bit more complex though, because the doing of the sexual stuff is probably making them feel that as if they're letting down their partner. It's probably a bit soon, you know, to be letting go of the partner. So maybe what they just want is to be held or something a bit more gentle, and they feel they have to go through with sex when, you know, full blown sex when it's not actually what they want. Or it might be, you know, either way, it's fine. But maybe talking about what you would actually like and saying it's a bit soon, but I would like us to lie together naked and cuddle. That, you know, could lead to anything, but that maybe that's more the way to go so that you can gradually get back into touch.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, what a vulnerable place to be, though. Mm. I mean, but maybe it sounds cute as hell. And in fact, I think oddly, more people would be into that than you think. Do you know what I mean? If someone said that to me, if they were like, oh, I'd feel comfortable with you just to be like, I actually genuinely do just want to lie there and like cuddle with you. I'd be like, that sounds like a good Friday.
Mm. Well, I think a lot of people are doing that anyway. People who haven't been bereaved and people who are just starting a new relationship saying, you know, I just want to take this a bit slower. There's a real trend towards that at the moment. And it's lovely because it builds up. I mean, it builds up a lot of trust and confidence in one another before you start whipping out the razors and you know, the shoe buffs and things like that, and getting jiggy.
Yeah, getting jiggy. Love that. The real jiggy education. Wonderful. I think that is that for this episode. Thank you very much, everyone, for listening. I know they come so thick and fast, these ones, and we wrap them off so quickly. So please do send us in some more ruddy questions so we have more of them to answer. We love these. They're absolutely brilliant. So yes, once again, if you'd like to send in a question to us, you can send them in via our Google form, which is in the bio of this episode, or our social media channels. We are at the RSC Pod. Make sure you're subscribed or following us wherever you get your podcasts, and we will see you next time for some more real jiggy education. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to The Real Sex Education, which is hosted by Diggory Waite and Kate Campbell. The show is produced by Diggory Waite, and the executive producer is Claire Broughton. The Real Sex Education is a Hattrick podcast.
This podcast is based on the real-life relationship between Diggory Waite and his mother, accredited sex therapist Kate Campbell. The show is therefore inspired by, but otherwise unrelated to, the TV show Sex Education. But yes, Diggory does wish his mother was played by Gillian Anderson.